Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
Welcome again here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to bring my broadcast partners up in Phoenix, Arizona. So no snow up there. Lynn, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. And Lynn, of course, her background, very interesting. Everything from chocolate to teddy bears, primarily with her business adventures being with the Mars Found organization. But she's now leading an organization that extends help to coaching and consulting in the whole field of talent management. And specifically, though, we want to spotlight today is the Lynn's actual outside of work endeavors, that she's active philanthropically on the Institute for the Advancement of ADHD Coaching and Southwest Job Network Boards and the like. So Lynn, the idea of applying strategies for organizing, planning, prioritizing, and time management.
Correct. It's all about performance. So we're still on our key theme of how do we enhance performance in our business and personal lives, but especially with the focus on business. And one area of coaching that I do get involved in is ADHD, or attention deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. You hear more about it today than you have in the past. But it's interesting when people talk about it, what they know and what they don't know. So I thought it would be a good way to segue into 2011 to talk some about, well, so how does ADHD and performance really tie together? And it's amazing when you look at it, of individuals that people believe demonstrated attributes of ADHD or were diagnosed with ADHD and the great things they went on to do.
Absolutely right.
Okay. So one of the things I wanted to start out with is what ADHD is and isn't. And so many times, you know, people will kind of joke around and say, oh, I must have had an ADHD moment. But really, it's around what they call executive functioning areas, which are activation, sustaining, focusing. So it really has to do with how I plan, organize, manage time, not only organize my physical environment, but also how things are organized in my brain.
Exactly.
So it's a processing challenge. It is not something that has to do with IQ. Right? Can there be IQ challenges? Well, that's a whole separate discussion. ADHD is really just about processing. And you'll find that people are very smart, very creative, and they will come at things differently, but not less than many times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So this whole thing about ADHD and, you know, how it is performance related is that many times you'll see in business very bright, very talented, very technically capable professionals. Or you can take it down and say college or school. Once again, people know they're smart, but they can tend to struggle in certain areas. And one of the big ones is organizing. So when you look at it, let's say from a young adult standpoint, that might be the person who walks into school and has spent 2 hours doing an assignment and doesn't turn it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, well, why wouldn't you turn it in? Well, because they don't know where it is. So it's not a matter of doing it. In this case, it could be a matter of finding it.
Right.
Take that to the work environment. Have you ever worked with somebody who the papers are all over? They may know basically where to find something, but it looks chaotic. And, excuse me, they may be the individual who has to run out to a plane to go to a customer or to go to a personal event. Can't find their keys. Can't find the paper they need. They may even be the keynote speaker and may not be able to put their hands on the paper at that time. They're pushing the clock, right? And so it's going to take 30 minutes to get there. They're now down to 25 and still looking for their keys. doesn't have to be ADHD. All right, I want to be clear about that. But if it is ADHD, then there are some really good strategies that you can put into place that start to help drive the performance of that individual.
And even really demystify and take away some of the frustration level that some of those incidences prompt.
Of course, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that you hear a lot when you're in corporate is, well, I always made sure I had great support people.
Mm-hmm.
So that they were managing my time, managing my work, which is a great strategy. I would push back a little on that and say, that helps you while you're in corporate, but how does it help you in the rest of your life? Because some of these challenges around organization, planning, prioritizing, and time management are ways of planning and thinking and doing. So my thoughts were, if there's anybody who or is working with us, has a diagnosis of ADHD, that there are some kind of basic strategies that start to enhance your performance and, let's say, start to decrease some of your frustration. Right? So let's talk about organizing. Things that really work. And organizing is color coding.
Yeah, very visual is what you're saying.
Yes, okay. And color coding, not just in the context of I have an Outlook calendar and I'm going to put all the colors in there, which, by the way, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also if you go into a file drawer, I have worked with executives who make anything to do with their finances green.
Right.
Money, right? Anything to do with business, blue. So whatever the color scheme is that works for you. But when you open that file drawer, you know exactly where you're going. Immediately your eyes are drawn to whatever that code is for you. And so it really starts to organize in a way that takes out, once again, time spent looking for things. I mean, look, I've done it. How many times have I gone through my file drawer 10 times thinking, I know it's in here. I know it's in here, but I can't find it.
Right.
Right. So I even started color coding and saying, if it's highlighted in yellow, it is something I need to keep track of. If it's highlighted in red, that's urgent. And so if you take that mindset and just kind of spread it across the workplace or the educational environment, whatever it is, and you take it into how you even look at materials, you start to build efficiency and performance. Another great one is, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. So many times people will come in and organize for an individual, and everything's neatly in bins and folders. And remember, if they're not color-coded, that folder could be very hard to find.
Right.
And guess what? They don't remember because it's not in front of them. So I recommend, get a planning board. Just get one of those big dry erase boards and put the key things on there by day or however you want to do it that says, I can't miss this. I got to remember that. And it's amazing, Zara, when you do that, when people come into that individual's office or their space, you know, like let's say it's a cubicle, they start to read it. And they start to go like, you know, that's, I forgot about that. That's a really good idea.
Well, the other thing they start saying is, oh, my goodness, this person really is heavily tasked. Maybe I shouldn't be dumping five more things on them as well.
That could help, too.
Yeah, that could help you fence off some of the other things that want to creep your way.
Absolutely. When I used to put things up on a board, when I was doing corporate, people would come in and, you know, it was in a meeting room. So it was kind of like, these are key things we have to do, or the manufacturing guys were working on the board. And it was amazing how people would also come in and go, you know what, I'd like to add this to that board.
Right.
This
is what a step missing there. Precisely.
So you start to get performance of the whole team. Remember, that's my big thing. Start with the individual, move to the team. So everybody starts to get into it because at the end of the day, the more senses you use, the better. So now they've heard it, they've seen it, and they're actually writing on it in some cases. The other kind of key phrase I love is Ohio. So when I'm talking to people, I'm like, are you going to Ohio? And that really stands for, it's not mine, somebody else came up with it, but only handling it once.
Right.
And so when people get into that, if a piece of paper goes in the hand, it cannot go in a pile. Right? Part of the discipline is, if you touch it, what are you going to do with it? It's either got to be filed, it's got to be thrown away, or delegated.
Yeah, in fact, now, of course, in this day and age, how many people are overrun with email management that you are constantly opening and closing the same files. So your metaphor is absolutely appropriate, even for when you electronically click. It's as if you put it in your hand.
Absolutely, and that's a really good point, Zara. Thank you. It's handling it, in kind of quotes, however you handle it, whether it's visually on email. And in fact, I recommend don't print more paper. Paper is not our friend. All right? So if there's another way to do it, to put it on a thumb drive, to organize, you could have thumb drives that are actually coded with certain types of files or whatever that you can save there. But the bottom line is, if you touch it, try to do something with it. That sounds like a no-brainer. It's probably one of the hardest ones to do.
Isn't it the truth? And it's an important place to stay. So you get us organized, and now, though, you got to take plans and take action on that.
Correct. Correct. And so, once again, whether it's for us as business professionals or teachers or if it's for our children, color coding is an unbelievable resource. And then on top of it, handle it once. So now I know where I'm putting it. I can see it real quickly, so it's not as hard. And then it also forces you to organize in your brain, because which category are you putting it in?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last question I'd leave in this area is, and why? Why are you putting it in there? What is it that that information is going to do for you? Because in today's environment, and you and I have talked about this, a lot of times people will put, well, you know, I want to keep that because I'm going to write about it in the future. You know, it ties into something I'm thinking about. Okay, either where's the folder, or at any point in time, as long as you know what that domain name is or how you found that information, go back and get it when you need it. All right? You don't have to keep building binders. So I'm like anti-binder person. Right? When the binders get bigger than the bookcase or the desk,
you go through and they become doorstops now.
Yeah, it's time to move out. And then at home, I recommend that you get a communication center. And a communication center is one of those big dry erase boards that has a calendar, and it has a place on the left for a schedule. And everybody should write on it. Children as small as 8 put down like an acronym or trip or whatever else it is, so that they start to get into, if we want to know anything that's going on in this house, we have a communication center. Papers to be signed, you have magnets that work, they go on that board. So mom and dad know where to look for it, and the children know where to find it to take it to school.
I think your point, too, is it's automatically then building some accountability with the young people, a skill that they're going to need as they step forward on their own.
Oh, sure. It's a life skill. Absolutely. In fact, we call it empowering the individual, no matter who it is, to say, we as a parent or parents tend to overcompensate in areas, especially when we're talking about children. And so we do it for them. And so then we wind up with a 17 or 18-year-old who's getting ready to go to college, who we're still getting out of bed, making sure they eat. And in 1 or 2 years, they're out of our hands. Okay? So, and that carries into, it can carry into adulthood, where some people can become so dependent on others. I like to see them push for some self-advocacy, which is, you learn these strategies, you can do it. You can figure out ways that'll work for you, because there's a lot of different ways of doing it. I'm just giving you a few. Okay, let's talk about planning. This is my other big one. I am absolutely, and I know this is probably going to be controversial, but I am absolutely anti-task lists. I do not believe that making lists of things to do get them done, unless they're put on a calendar.
Yeah, something very visual. Yeah, that you are now being realistic about the time management of it.
Exactly, and that's how it ties in. So what we start with is, and I coach, I work with a lot of adults as well as young adults. And so, you know, I'll usually say, well, look, if that works for you, go ahead and try it. And then when we come back the next week, the question is, how many are gone? But if you put 2 or 3 a day, whatever else you have to do, you know, like I have a a client I'm working with, or I have somebody I'm coaching, but this day, I'm also going to get these two or three things done. By the end of the week, you could have, 10 to 15 items
that you can
taken care of.
You bet. You can declare victory and celebrate.
Correct. With really not a lot of stretch, if you are, and we'll talk about prioritizing, but if you're really thinking about it, right, which is, okay, and you know what gets overwhelming at times for all of us? Phone calls.
Yeah, it's the interruptions, yeah.
Yeah, because if you're on a plane, which you and I have done many times, flown all over, you know, I can work on some things on the plane, but I can't catch up on those phone calls except during a certain period of time in the day. So you start to say, I'm going to make these two phone calls, and I'm going to write this, and you're done. Because we know during the day other things come up. But once again, if you put it on a calendar with a date behind it, which shows that it's got to be completed in this time frame, it's amazing how you can start to accelerate in that area.
I think it's also, though, one of being realistic in our own expectations of self-management and of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see people who post their calendars and it literally is subscribed from start to finish, total gray, no white space, no break time, or it's even double subscribed with multiple meetings, you know, this whole illusion of multitasking doesn't necessarily mean you're getting multi-things completed.
Agreed. In fact, I would submit the opposite, which is the likelihood of most of that getting done in a productive and successful way is greatly minimized.
Mm-hmm. So focus being the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, realistic. Now, what happens is if, and I'm going to digress here just for a minute, if you're not strong on time management, then that's when you can tend to overcommit. So it's not often done with lack of intention. It's very intentional to try to get as much done as possible in the day. But if there's not a good feel for how much those events actually take, I don't know about you, but in 30-plus years in corporate, I can't recall a meeting I went to that ended on time.
Or let alone ended early.
Ended early, or in many cases, started on time.
Right, and didn't spawn five other meetings.
You got it. So we're going to meet to get ready for that meeting that we have to meet, yeah.
Well, but I think, again, you opened our segment here with this idea that this is all about a processing challenge. So you're offering us strategies on, you know, first off organizing and now planning. So then you can set some realistic prioritization against it.
Right, and the other interesting thing is these areas that we're talking about are good strategies, whether you've been diagnosed with ADHD or not.
Precisely.
They're solid ways to enhance your performance. So let's go on with planning a little bit. Plan out at least a week. So this kind of ties into prioritizing, so I'm going to touch that on that again. But you have to be a little forward-thinking so that you can anticipate things that are going on. And any large projects, you have to go with the end date and move back and really start to think about, who do I need to meet with? Who do I need to talk to? If it's a school project, same idea, which is, when are you going to have the first draft done? When are you going to get it reviewed? And sometimes students are given those frameworks, but adults aren't. In business, it's like, okay, we're going out to this client or customer. You know, this is what we're going after. It's a big sale. Get it ready. Right? Or financial people, we need you to report out on this, and you have to have this done by X time. And so you can find the person can bump up against deadlines also, unless they intentionally sit down and say, if it's due here, what do I need to get done in between? And when they start that thought process, they get a wealth of information because it's in the brain. It just needs to be organized.
And also then, as you would probably say, be made very visible too.
Correct. And then lastly in this area, I say go electronic. Go electronic. Put in timers. So let's go to prioritizing, because with prioritizing, there's really only three areas. And electronic helps with this as you're putting things on your calendar, right? Because I believe paper's not always our friend. So, of course, I'm going to say get a BlackBerry, something else that has alarms and alerts to help you stay on task.
Right.
So I think there's three areas: must do, need to do, and nice to do. And Covey in his prior work did four quadrants, but I break it down to three. And many times, if it's on nice to do, we generally don't get it done. So unless it's personal, you know, something like I want to go on a safari, well, that's really not nice to do. That's something that could be important to you. So part of the thought process is, where does it fit in your life? Where does it fit in your work? And then you have to connect the hand and the brain. So I recommend write it down. Even if it's by writing it down once again, it's typing it into your BlackBerry or into your computer. There is a phenomenal connection between when I start to debrief or kind of take information and begin to organize it, what flows out of the brain.
That, and also the next step would even be then you go tell the right person about it, and that way you almost are making a social contract or a commitment to do it.
Correct. Absolutely, which is a great strategy. So, yeah, you can't just organize in the brain. That's why people, we all do it. It's not just if you've been diagnosed with ADHD. That's why I like these strategies. But I'm sitting in a meeting. I can remember, you know, once again when I was in corporate, and all of a sudden this thought comes in your head like, oh, my gosh, did that order get processed? Mm-hmm. That order has to be there tomorrow. The reason that happens, I believe, is because you don't have it down and planned out. So it's kind of floating around in the brain and can come out at, in some cases, inopportune times when you're supposed to be focused on something you're learning or being introduced to.
Precisely, right.
Take 10 minutes at night. 10 minutes at night, no matter who you are or what you do, to plan the next day and limit the number you're going to put on the, let's say, Post-it or in your BlackBerry, whatever it is that you use. And I believe you will enhance your productivity and have a better night's sleep because now you have it out and you have a plan for it and you have direction. And then you start once again moving that out to the week. And then you get an idea of what's my life going to be like this week.
And I think you raised a good point, too, is that you're getting it out of your head so your brain is imaginating on it all night long,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you can get it out in front of you. So that prioritization connecting, as you would say, the head to the hand, and that leads us then into your final thoughts about then how do you manage your time all around this?
Exactly. Set the biological clock. Get on a schedule. Especially if you have children, it's the best thing you can do. It's hard. Parents will often say, or even executives, but days are different, but not when you get up. Okay? You can always get up basically around the same time. You can try to eat around the same time. You can try to go to bed around the same time. And you start to set your biological clock and become more efficient. And you look for routines where you can. Once again, we have breakfast at this time. We leave for school or work at this time. And you get into a rhythm. And it's amazing how the body will get into a rhythm. And then once again, because I think this is so important, use alarms for everything. So if I know I have to leave for the airport in 30 minutes and I'm working on something, you know, you're going to get involved in it. I set an alarm. And when that alarm goes off, you can't say, I'll snooze it for 5 minutes.
That's right. That's the technique on that alarm clock. Well, before we run out of time, you know, I know one quite burning question goes back to your earlier comment. But, you know, I still will forget where I put my car keys.
Right. Get a basket or a container. Put it as close to the door of your office, your home, the one that you use, and start putting it in there. And if you have children or a spouse or a friend or a roommate who can help you, anytime you don't put it in that basket, and it has to be yours only, nothing else can go in it, then ask them not to say anything, but just pick it up and put it in the basket for you. And in about a week or two, you'll start automatically doing it.
In fact, they say, 21 consecutive days of doing something really
Correct.
Does make it into a habit. Well, Lynn, thank you very much. Individuals interested in connecting with Lynn, you can reach her here in Arizona. Her website is azc3.com. It's Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. Also, Lynn, your office number to give them some guidance there?
Sure, 480-502-5931.
Very good. And we're going to connect with Lynn, of course, a month from now and take this conversation to the next level. Always at the end of the day, folks, it's about bringing it back to performance. Right, Lynn?
You got it.
Absolutely. Have a great afternoon. We'll catch
Thanks.
Up with
good
you soon.
Talking to you.
Take care.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon. We'll have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth,
for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.